We'll talk a little bit tonight about Cain and Abel. And the thought that I had that came to me as I began to look at this, and this is simply the thought, what have you done to your brother? And I want to read this scripture in Genesis chapter number 4, and then we may flip and read to some other places. But obviously we've got the first son and the second son, and very early we see the results of sin. We see the results of eating of that forbidden fruit and your eyes being open and being separated from God. Just right before chapter 4, they were expelled from the garden. And there was a curse placed upon mankind. And then the next event. Let's read this scripture in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll read it in segments, but I want to read down verse 15. It says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain," which means to get, "and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain again talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from hence the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now I just had the thought, what have you done to your brother? And I was thinking of this. Now when we study the Word of God, the first thing we look at is the historical application. Since I've learned to study this way, it just comes to my heart and mind every time I open the book. But historically, what happened here is the very first two brothers. You had one rise up and kill the other. And he murdered him, and of course God came and said, What have you done? Where is your brother? His response to God was certainly not the response he should have given. It was almost like you would expect to hear when you ask an older brother, Where is your little brother? That's basically what he was saying. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? It's almost like, I don't know, I'm not his daddy. You look at this scripture and you see this, then you see that, of course, we serve a God who knows everything. He knows before he asks for us, not for him. And as we look at this scripture, we see Historically, the very first murder, the very first time that man took and raised his hand against another man, in this case, a brother. And, of course, there was judgment that came from God, and he told him, you know, there was already a curse in the third chapter placed upon the earth that, you know, you're going to earn your bread by the sweat of thy face till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, dust you are, and to the dust you shall return. But it said he would be able to earn his bread. Now, and it says that in the 18th verse, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Now, sometimes, you know, living in this earth, we deal with a lot of thorns and thistles, right? I mean, I got them. I can't stand the thorns and thistles. And here's what it is, the problems. Get tired of them, okay? In the garden, it was peaceful. It was, everything was there. It was like retirement when you're still young enough to enjoy it, okay? But here, it's going to be difficult as it is because of the curse, but what God has said to Cain, he said, you're going to till the ground, it won't grow. You're going to work, but you'll yield no fruit. Everything that you put your hand to, it's like it's going to be cursed. And Cain says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He says, you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. You're going to be traveling from place to place, eating crumbs, begging, doing whatever you can do. And Cain said, everyone who finds me is going to slay me. Then the Lord tells him, I'm going to put a mark on you, and I'm going to protect you. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Even in this situation, we find grace. And I want us to look at something. I want to flip over just a couple of places, and I want to show you a verse of Scripture that comes along just a couple of chapters later. It's in Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 6. This is where we find capital punishment in the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. You know, I was listening today. They had sentenced a young man for committing crimes, and the crimes that he had committed were, it's just like when somebody would break into your house, rob you, and kill your loved one, and they take them out and they sentence them to, let's just say, life in prison. The young man, he was in his teens, but he was tried as an adult. But they said, and they gave this age, by the time he's 52 years old, he's going to be out. They said when they sentenced him, he showed no emotion, no remorse, no expression on his face, no apology to the family. Now, here's the real question for us. If this is my family and your family, what would the apology really do? It's not going to bring back my son. It's not going to bring back my brother. It's not going to bring back my wife. So would it matter at that point? If there's no remorse in that person, of course, it's not going to mean anything. But if there is true repentance, and there is such a thing as true repentance, the amazing grace of God has the ability to heal in ways that you and I can't even understand. You just have to experience it. But what if you're in this case and you've got a mother who is Eve and a father who is Adam, and their first two sons, one slays the other. They're both their boys. One of them is gone, and the other one is cast out as a castaway running to and fro upon the face of the earth. Have you ever thought about how maybe Adam and Eve felt? You know, of course God blesses them. You go down a little farther, and she gets another child. His name is Seth. But you know, when we look at this scripture, and I see God as he comes, and he cries out to Cain, what have you done to your brother? Now, what caused this? What caused Cain to rise up against his brother? The scripture says that Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and he brought an offering before the Lord. And the Lord accepted that offering. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And he came and he brought an offering, but God didn't accept that offering. Now, we could look at that a number of different ways, but why? You know, the answer really is in verse number 7. Because the answer is given to us. It says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. See, in verse 6, Cain is angry with his brother because they both brought an offering before the Lord, and God accepted Abel's offering, but he didn't accept Cain's offering. And then the Lord speaks to Cain, and he says, why are you mad? And why is your countenance falling? And he tells him, Cain, your problem is you've got sin. And here's the issue. If we got sin, we got to deal with our sin. Because if I don't deal with my sin, and all I do is put my eyes on everybody else, I'm going to devour them. I heard a man one time, he's a pastor of a church. And, you know, I want to tell you something. Being a pastor don't make you immune from having trouble, okay? Being a church member and being a member of a church, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, don't mean you won't have trouble. He was having an issue in his home. And he was talking to me a little bit about it. I was working with him, and I was just a young man. But he was talking about how difficult sometimes it was to try to follow God when he felt like he was the only one doing it. And he said, I tried to talk to my wife. He said, it was rough. He said, sometimes, he said, what I did, he said, all you can do is put them in the hands of God. He said, I did that. He said, in the process of time, God got a hold of her, and she got her heart right, and, you know, we're serving the Lord together. And later on, he said, she asked me, why didn't you just tell me? He said, I did, and you bit my head off. Now, if you look at this scripture, where's Cain? He's angry. He's filled with bitterness. He's mad. He's mad at God. He's mad at his brother. And he is in a position that if he's not careful, look what happened. You see, if you get in a position that you're not right with God and you don't deal with number one, I tell you the most trouble I ever have is with me, okay? People talk about the devil this and the devil that. I'm going to tell you, and then you got the world. But I'm going to tell you what you got to deal with, number one, is the flesh. In order for me to be what I'm supposed to be, I got to deal with me. In order for me to be the husband I need to be to my wife, I got to deal with me. I can't blame the devil. I can't blame the world. I can't blame my neighbors. And the truth is, I can't even blame her. I'd like to say, well, it's your fault because you did, and I can give you the list, okay? Let me tell you something, man. That don't excuse you. We got something, and here's the point. There's something God expects from you and me, regardless of what everybody else is doing. And if Cain had just said, all right, Lord, I brought this offering, and it wasn't what you wanted, would you just show me what I'm supposed to do? Have you ever been upset and look around you and see somebody prospering that you don't like and you wonder why God's blessing them and not you? And you know, let's just be honest, we don't like everybody, do we? There's a lot of people, like, you know, I don't like. I got people that I work with in work and business, whether it be customers or peers in other plants, and I have to pray. And here's why I have to pray. I might see them in heaven. And if I do, how am I going to deal with that? You ever thought about that? See, because I want them to be what I want them to be. And it doesn't work that way. If you look at the historical happening here, a brother was killed physically. Well, whose fault is it? Cain had sin in his life and he didn't deal with it. Guess what happens when you have sin and you don't deal with it? It gets worse. That's why the guy who gets hooked on crystal meth and he loses his job, he finds himself doing things he never thought he'd do. I know people. I have people in my family, and folks, you got them in yours. I had a cousin who had gotten so bad that he broke into his grandpa's house next door and stole all of his grandpa's guns. Then he broke into his own house, locked the door, went around, broke the window out, went in, stole his dad's guns and his dad's stuff. You see, when you don't deal with sin, sin compounds and it gets worse. That's exactly what happened in Cain's life. God knows all that. When I get to the point that I've got sin in my life and we can apply this, we can bring it right back to us. Because it happens in churches, it happens in homes, it happens in business. In order for me to get right with God, I have to surrender. I have to just take my feelings and my will and I lay them before the Lord and I give them to Him. Because I may not kill anybody physically, but what do? You kill them with words. You kill them with rejection. You kill them with coldness. And you can even kill people with lack of concern. Do you know that people come in here every Sunday, every service, all honestly, do you know that people want to know that you care? Have you ever looked at anybody and you have a predisposed opinion of them that, well, they're just, and you fill in the blank, they're this way. I've had people do that to me. You look at people and you wonder why they're not talking to others or they're not fitting in, and you think, well, they're this or they're that. It may be that they don't think nobody cares about them. It may be that they don't think anyone loves them. And sometimes it's amazing how much going up and putting your arm around somebody and saying, hey, we're glad you're here. You ever seen anybody come and we had a, you know, we have Celebrate Recovery service on Monday night. And, you know, when they come, folks come, I tell them, we're glad you're here. Sunday morning, we're glad you're here. People need to know that you care about them. But you know what happens in a church when people get kind of like Cain? They're not right with God because they're not doing what God wants them to do, and they get bittered. They get like Naomi, and they change their name to Mara, which means bitter. Their bitterness spews out like an acid on people. And they push people away, and they can't even enjoy the blessings and the benefits of what God has for them and even do what God wants them to do. It's like, I don't think God was asking anything unreasonable of Cain. He just didn't want to do it God's way. You know, sometimes when I'm having problems with those people that I might see in heaven that I don't like, I have to ask myself, God, I know that you see us and you love us both. You love us all. What am I not seeing? And truth is, let's just be honest, sometimes people you deal with aren't right. But what does God expect from us? He expects us to be right anyway. You know, when I begin to think about this, and I thought about what have you done with your brother, this scripture came to my heart. I want to read this in Galatians chapter number 5. And it's in verse number, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And it talks about love. You know, the Bible tells us in one place, it said, if there be any other commandments briefly comprehended in this statement, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For love is a fulfillment of the law. And then if you go Galatians 5:14, I want to read this. I want to start reading in the 13th through the 15th verse. It says, for we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I heard a guy one time, he was talking about birds and how in nature you can look around and you see God and what God does. And he talked about how seagulls are when they're in a flock. He said they're just going everywhere, squawking and making noise. And he said there just seems to be no order and there's so much congestion and so much loudness. And he said, if you took a red ribbon, and this has been tried, and you tie it on one of those seagulls, that all of those other seagulls will peck that one with the red ribbon on it to death. And as I thought about that, if you look at this scripture in the 15th verse, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. We got to be careful. I think what God's called us to do more than anything else is to love one another. To be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. He also told the story of how the Canadian geese fly in formation and what they do. And you know, I don't know if you've ever looked at them, but I mean, once I heard this, I mean, every time I hear them now, I just run outside and look up. I want to watch them go by. Do you ever notice how they fly in a V? Have you ever seen them sometimes how, you know, they're flying good, but you got one back here that's kind of doing this? It's been studied, they've been looked at, that as they fly, the ones in the front will alternate. Because the one in the front, he's making the way for the others. It takes the most strength. But these back here, the reason they're back here fluttering a little bit is they're the weaker ones. It's been filmed that when one of these weaker ones gets to the point it can't fly anymore and it has to go down and land, one of these stronger ones up front will peel off and go down and wait with that weaker one until it's able to fly again and move on with it. And, you know, when we look at that, I believe that's a picture of what God wants us to do. It's how God wants us to treat one another. Doesn't the scripture tell us that, you know, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, well, that might be that one flying up front. Restore such a one, that one flying in the back, with a spirit of meekness, which is gentleness and humbleness, which means we're not God's judge. But we go down and we, you know, sometimes what it takes is you put your armor out of them. It's real easy to say if you and start laying it all that out. And all that may be true. But one thing God's not called us to be, and this is where Cain got out of line. He wasn't right with the Lord himself, and he judged his brother and slew him. We're not God's police. We can't make anybody do anything. And the truth is, all we can do is be faithful. And if I'm not in a position that I'm at peace with God, if I become faithful and I begin to follow him and seek him, I'd rather humble myself, as the Bible teaches, in the sight of the Lord and have him lift me up than to exalt myself and have God push me down. You know, there's a story in the Word of God that I thought about as I was studying this. It's about Peter, and this is over in John chapter number 21, where Jesus appears to the seven disciples after his resurrection. And he comes there, and he had dined with them, and he begins to speak to Peter, and he said, "Do you love me?" Of course, he asked him several times, and he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And then he says, "Follow me. Feed my sheep," in the latter part of the 17th verse. And after Jesus, in the 17th verse, when Peter said, "You know that I love you," Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus begins to speak to Peter about Peter's life and what is going to happen in Peter's life. And, of course, the Lord knows. We don't know, but God knows. And here's what the Lord told Peter. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girded thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." And in the 19th verse, it says, Jesus, speaking to him, says, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." Now, this is where Jesus speaks to Peter, and he said, when you're young, you go where you want to go, but when you're old, others are going to take you and gird you and take you where you don't want to go. And he said, this is signifying his death. Now, it doesn't say it in the Word of God, but history teaches us that Peter was crucified upside down, head down. Because when they took him to crucify him, why? Because he served God, he loved God, he saw the resurrected Lord, he had already denied him three times. It didn't matter what they had done to him from then on, he was never going to deny him again. He took him and they crucified him upside down, and I believe that's what this is speaking about. He honored God. And I want to tell you the ultimate, there are many who believe that the ultimate spiritual gift that you can receive is martyrdom. Now that's tough. But look at what happened. As the Lord speaking to Peter, how Peter responded to the Lord. It says, and when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. And here's Peter, he's with the Lord. This is just the way we are. It says, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is probably John the Beloved, following, which also leaned on the breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? He sees him walking by and he asks the question, almost like in his mind, is that the one? But they already knew who the one was. Basically, what he was doing is he was looking at him and it's like us. If this is God's lot for me, what about him? What has he done? What's in his mind? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He asked the question, well, if that's going to be my future, what about him? Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to you? Follow me. Now here's where we have trouble. If I'm Cain or if I'm Abel, what if God is not doing in my life what he's doing in Abel's life? I'm Cain, and I see Abel blessed, and I see Abel offering his sacrifice, and it just seems like he's at peace with God, and I just can't get to that. Here's the point. I can't take care of nobody but me. And if I'm going to be right with God, I got to quit worrying about everybody else around me. And I got to get right with God. Because if I pay too much attention to everybody else around me, I won't be able to hear God when he speaks to me. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Cain got his eyes off the Lord and he got to looking at Abel. Well, here's Peter again. You know, remember, he got his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. The Lord had to reach down and grab him by the hand. Another time he got his eyes off the Lord and he denied him three times with a curse. Here's another time he gets his eyes off the Lord and he says, what about him? And the Lord said, Peter, hadn't you learned anything? Just follow me. Just follow me. And for you and me, for me, because maybe a lot of this is for me, maybe we just need to follow God. And let him take and through the power of his spirit and his healing ability and his grace, be the Lord of my life. And help me to be whatever he would have me to be. You know, sometimes when we begin to look at or think about, if we look too much at the other things going on around us, we're going to miss what God has for us as individuals. You know, We ought not to be comparing ourselves with others, but we ought to be tuned in and focused on making sure I'm where God wants me and I'm at peace with God. You see, if I'm at peace with God, I'm going to be able to get rid of my bitterness. I'm going to be able to get rid of my harshness, and I'm going to walk with him. But here's the thing that is so difficult for us as human beings is to have peace with God. Ultimately, what you got to do is just surrender. You say, Lord, I give it to you. You know, I read a scripture here Monday night, and I'm going to read this and we'll close with this. I like this scripture. I want this scripture. I try to apply this scripture. But have you ever had anybody look at you and they just say to you, well, now, you know, as a Christian, you just shouldn't worry about anything. That's what the Bible says. That's tough, though, isn't it? Listen to this scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, and the word moderation means self-control, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Then it says, be careful, which means be worried for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Cain was a long ways away from that. Several times we see in Peter's life that he drifted away from that. But you know, when we come to the point of complete surrender, and here's what it is. You say, God, and we had Miss Durham, Sandra Durham was here Monday night, and she came down and she got, I think, a chip for 90 days or something like that. And she talked about how that she had made a decision in her life that she was going to turn all her worries over to the Lord. Now, folks, I sat here on Monday night, and sometimes people talk about crystal meth, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I've never done that. People talk about alcohol, and I thank the Lord, but I've never done that. But when she said that, I thought, I need that too. You know, I'd like to maybe come up and get me a blue chip and say, I'm going to lay all my worries at the feet of Jesus. And I try to, but you know what I do? Something happens, and it begins to put pressure on me. And you know what happens? If we're not careful, we take our eyes off the Lord. And what that bitterness does, although maybe we hadn't killed Abel, is it causes us with our mouth, with our actions, with our deeds, to hurt somebody. When in reality, at the root of it, what is it? I laid it down here, but I walked back by, and I picked it up, and I'm carrying it again. And when we give it to Him, and I mean really give it to Him, that's when the peace comes. Now, I like this where it says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And here's basically what that means. It's like when people look at you, and they say, I just don't understand how you can have the peace that you've got. And that gives you an opportunity to tell them what God's doing in your life. You know, maybe sometimes when we come before the Lord like Abel and we offer our sacrifice of praise, maybe the reason we're not able to worship the way we're supposed to is because all that junk we're carrying with us that He wants us to put down. And that causes us not to be able to come before Him with our hearts clean and trusting, because if we're not trusting Him, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Miss Marilyn Marie was here Monday night, and she was teaching the lesson out of the book, which was Hope, and she did a great job. But she made the comment, and I'll try to remember it, and Kendra, you help me, because this is just something I was thinking about. She said, we doubt our beliefs and believe our doubts. You ever thought about that? Now, we believe in the Lord, but we walk in doubt every day. And sometimes our doubts overshadow us and overwhelm us to the point that we can't live in victory to where we come before the Lord. We can offer a sacrifice of praise that He'll receive because we're bringing so much else. But if we surrender, that's the key. And that's what Cain didn't do. And we'll be able to have victory and we'll be able to have peace. And I want that. Anybody got a word or a testimony or any thought tonight you'd like to share with your brothers and sisters in Christ?